James chapter 3, verse 1, and we're talking about continuing on the power of the tongue. And this is James chapter 3, starting in verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Boy, I like this. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, and that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. And I read from the New International Version in verse 2. It says, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. So that means we can control and change habits. We can change addictions. We can change appetites, or our appetites, with our words. If you have a compulsion to eat and you just got to eat, you know, I got a taste for this, you can change your tastes. You can say, no, I'm not doing that. Does it mean you don't want it? Oh, yeah, you want it. It's like, do I want another bowl of something? There's sometimes, absolutely. And I just say, no, I'm not doing that. How many have heard, you know, maybe you haven't, but Brother Hagin would say, as a young person, he would go into town, and every time he'd go into town, somebody would hand him a soda, or he called it a pop. And he said he got to the point where he was getting controlled by that compulsion. Everybody hand him a pop, and he said, no, I want another pop, I want another soda, I want another pop. And then finally he said, oh, wait a minute, this pop is controlling me. I'm having this, I got to have this. And then he just decided, he said, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not having it. I'm not going to drink it. And you just got to say no to some things. You just got to say, no, I'm not doing that. And begin to tell your body, tell your compulsions and your appetites, I'm not eating that. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do it. You're going to want to do it. Your body's going to scream for it. Whatever that is. Could be food, could be whatever. But you determine. You say, no, I'm not doing that. You know, some folks, they get caught up in things and it's destructive. And they can change that. We can change it with our words. Amen. It's like what's the controlling factor? Your tongue. So it's just like the bit, or like the rudder in the ship, or you could say it's the steering wheel in the car. Whatever it is, you can use those analogies and say, I'm changing the direction of my life. I'm getting control over it, and I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say what I desire, not say what I have. And we know these principles, but it's reminding ourselves, it's feeding on it, it's meditating on it. So in order for there to be a change, you've got to change your words. The Good News Translation says, all of us make mistakes, but if a person never makes a mistake in what he says, he's perfect and is also able to control his whole being. That's pretty strong. You can control your whole being, your whole direction of your life. There was one translation. I'll read that another time. Let's go over to Proverbs 18. Want to jump ahead here? Jump into this evening. Proverbs 18, verse 20 and 21. I'm going to read from the King James. It says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Wow. So think about that. It says, your belly shall be satisfied. What is shall be? Shall be is future tense. So that means in order for your belly to be satisfied, there's going to be some byproduct of what? And that's what it goes on to say. It says, with the fruit of his mouth and with the what? The increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So we can see here that something must precede the outcome of something. Something has to precede the filling or the fruit. In other words, you've got to have increase in your lips and then you're filled. So that means if you want an increase in something, let's say you want an increase in your business, you got to talk increase. You've got to talk increase. You want an increase in your finances, you've got to talk increase. Didn't say it was going to happen overnight, but you've got to talk increase. You can't talk what you have. You can't talk lack, or you'll have lack. That's what this says right here. So don't blame God. You know, we're like, how come, God? He said, well, go right over here to Proverbs 18:20, and you can see why. We can see in society, you know, I think this is the thing. This is what we have. We have people, whatever people, class of people. You know, I remember when I was in college, you know, there are these classes you have to take. I didn't want to take them, but you have to. I'm going, why am I taking this class? Because you have to, right? And there's some things that are required. And I'm sitting in this class, and it's a kind of a, I guess you would call it like a psychology class. And I'm wondering, why am I taking this class? Because I'm in engineering school. And I'm like, these don't have anything to do with one another. Anyways, the teacher said, okay, we're going to do a little demonstration, but we can only do this demonstration once. Because once you know it, then there's you see the result of this. And so here's what it was. We broke up the class. It was a large class, large room, 100 people. And so they said, okay, we're going to break up the room in two groups. This group over here can make all the rules. And this group over here, they have to follow the rules. Oh, boy. You could see all the flesh and the greed come out in that. And boy, it got ugly. It really did. It got ugly in the class because you could see society at work. People subverting other people. We decide we're making this rule, right? And so you see all the flesh and the stuff come out, even though this was just in a college class. But the point is, we're not subject to that. We're in a new kingdom. We have a new master. We have a new covenant. So we are not subject to the God of this world. And if we just learn that and not get caught up in how come this and why this and I don't have this and I can't live this and I can't do this because God never said that. And this is where we want to do tonight is look at this, not this, what I'm talking about, but talking about what God has said and agreeing with him, agreeing with what God has said. And when we do that and when we believe it and say it, it has the power within it to change our circumstances, change our lives. So your confession must precede the possession of something. If I want more money, if I want more health, if I want more prosperity, where my family's concerned, whatever it is, if I want more, what did the scripture say in Ephesians 1? And you go in and it says, Paul, what did Paul pray to Ephesians prayer? He said that the God of our Father, he said, the Lord Jesus Christ would give us. And he's praying that for the Ephesian church, that he would give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. What did Brother Hagin say? He was led to just pray that prayer for himself. I believe, I receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened. Boy, if you could have that, then you're not bumping around in life, are you? Because you've got a spirit of wisdom and revelation, but you've got to believe and say it. In order for that confession must precede the possession of that. So if you want a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, you got to talk like it, like I have it. Not, boy, I sure wish, could you pray for me that I get that? Well, you know what? Brother Hagin would say, I can pray, but then when you leave my presence, then what are you talking? See, what are you saying? Remember, faith has got to be in two places in order for it to work. It's got to be in your heart. You may want it, but then you're talking something else, and then it won't work. See? So if we want to harvest, we've got to speak increase. This is the New International Version. It says, from the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is filled. I like this. And from the harvest, with the harvest from his lips, he is satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those that love it will eat its fruit. The Good News Translation, it says, you will have to live with the consequences of everything you say. That's pretty strong right there. You will have to live with the consequences. This is a Good News Translation. You will have to live with the consequences of everything you say. This is verse 20. Verse 21, what you say can preserve life or destroy it, so you must accept the consequences of your words. You must accept the consequences of your words. The complete Jewish Bible, it says, a person's belly. Well, a bird's belly will be filled with what it pecks, right? I'm sorry. Get the funny here. A person's belly will be filled with the fruit of his mouth. And what his lips produce, he will be filled. The tongue has the power over life and death. Glory to God. So, one thing, I heard a minister share this, is there's truth in this. If you speak about your need all the time, if you say, I need this, I've got to have this, I need more money, I need more peace, I need more whatever it is, I need more clothes, I need this, I need another job, then if you talk need all the time, then you'll begin to have faith in your need rather than faith in God. Because if you're talking the promises of God, then you're talking increase, not I have need. I have a need, I have a need, I have a need, I have a need. I have a need, I have a need, I have a need. And all you're thinking about is your need. And you're not talking the word of God. Does everybody see that? Everybody understand that? Because the more you meditate on that, some of you might be saying, well, I don't know. Well, put it on the shelf. If you don't get it, meditate on it a little bit. If you talk lack, which is need, you're not talking increase. You've got to talk blessing. You've got to talk, how can, let's say it another way, how can an olive tree bear, what did it say? Let me go back and read it again. How can an olive, how can a vine bear? Well, a vine would bear what? A vine would bear figs or let me read it in a modern translation, because some of the King James, it's a little, yeah. the New Living, it says, does a fig tree produce olives? No. Does a grapevine produce figs? No. So you can't speak need and expect increase. You can, you're talking lack. And you may not understand that, but the more you think about it, it's so anyhow. We've got to talk increase. We have to talk like we have it. We have to talk the power of God. You believe, because remember, in order for faith to work, faith begins where the will of God is concerned. What is the will of God? Is the will of God your lack and need? No. He said, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. So if you meditate, faith begins where the word of God and the will of God is known. So if I have the will of God and the word of God in my heart and I believe it, what am I believing? Am I believing what God said, or am I believing my circumstances? Because the more I talk need, then I'm talking what I have and my circumstances. So I can't have faith in that. I've got to have faith in what God said. And I have to, in order for it to work, I've got to speak it. And I've got to speak, I've got to call something that isn't faith. I know we're talking, I don't know why I'm going down this road. But anyways, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of something not seen. Well, my need is seen. So the more I keep talking about what I see, you're talking something that's not faith. You're talking lack. Man, I hope this comes home to somebody. Because I can't talk what I see. I'm thinking of, let me get over here a second. Let's just for a second, this scripture came up in my heart here. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's just look at that scripture for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, we having the same spirit of faith. This is from, actually, this is something that the psalmist David referenced, or we're referencing. Paul's referencing this, Psalm 116, verse 10. But you can see here, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is what? Written. I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and do what? Therefore speak. But jump down to verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah. So I've got to speak the word of God. I've got to speak the promises of God. I've got to meditate on the promises of God. And you know, it's sometimes, you know, these things that we're living in the midst of, it's right up in your face. And it's constantly, it's going 24/7. What are you going to do? 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 And it's talking to you, right? And you've got to speak to it. Casting down thoughts and imaginations, what are we supposed to do? It says, thinking on those things which are pure and just and so forth, and what it talks about in Philippians. So here's some, let's look at one more scripture here, and I'm going to jump to what we're doing tonight. But Mark 11, 22 and 23, and we know this story where Jesus cursed the fig tree, and of course his disciples are reminding him the next day. And he said, have the faith of God, or have faith in God. And I like Matthew's account. It talks about you. If you spoke to. I like the way that Matthew wrote this, but let's just focus on Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Remember, we're talking about, where's it got to be? It's got to be in your heart. So you can't doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. So there's the other piece. Got to be in your heart, and it's got to be in your mouth, on your lips. He shall have whatsoever he saith. I remember when I first started the ministry here, and let me ask this question. And this was something that I was reading recently. They were saying the key to Smith Wigglesworth's ministry, the power in his ministry. He had over 20 plus, 25, 26 people raised from the dead. They said the key to the power of his ministry was his total dependence on the direction of the Spirit of God, number one. Number two, his complete trust of the Word of God. These two things, dependence on the Holy Spirit and complete trust and confidence in the Word of God, right? But I remember, so we can't just pull a scripture out of the hat or pull it out of this book and say, I'm going to say this. I'm going to confess this. I've done that. How many have done that? Be honest. We all have. You don't want to raise your hand, I'll come there and raise it for you, but we've all done it. We've all said, I'm going to confess this until I have it, and then sometimes it's not working. And the reason it's not working, there can be a lot of reasons, but one reason is the Holy Spirit knows more than you do. And he may give you a particular scripture to say and decree. And what he reveals is revelation to you. And I remember a situation that happened to me when I first started in this ministry. And I got sued for a lot of money. And it was my fault. And it was a lot of digits. You know what I mean? A lot of digits at the end of a number. It was way up in the hundreds of thousands. And so I thought, I'm cooked. I'm toast. Now, when I say it's my fault, I was driving a vehicle and I got in an accident. I wasn't driving recklessly, but I got in an accident. And of course, they sue. And they sue for a lot of money. And so I'm sitting in my office kind of going, okay, God, what are we going to do here? I'm not in fear, but I'm like, okay, I haven't got two nickels to rub together. And I already know what my insurance policy covers. Not much to cover that. And so I remember sitting there, pondering, wondering, looking to God in my heart, and a scripture came right up out of my spirit. Right up out of here. Came to my thinking, Malachi, if you will bring the tithe into the storehouse and prove me now herewith, I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can hardly contain. And then it goes on, it says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I jumped up out of my seat and did a little dance in my office. I'm serious, because I said, I'm a tither. I am a tither. And I said, you said you would rebuke the devourer for my sake. And boy, I tell you, I grabbed hold of that, as they say, like a dog on a bone. I gripped it, and I'm telling you, I still had to walk through a process. I had to walk through a process. I had to go through depositions and all of this stuff that you go through, because when you're getting sued. And your mind wants to tell you, it's not working, nothing's changing, because you're going through a process and you're walking through it. And every time those thoughts would come, I'm serious, every time they flooded my mind and the fear would grip me, I'd release those words. I'd say, Father, you spoke to me. And I'd say it just like that. You spoke to me and you showed me. I wasn't thinking about this. I was sitting in my office and you spoke to me and said, if I brought my tithe into the storehouse, you'd open up the windows of heaven, pour me out a blessing I could hardly contain, and you would rebuke the devourer. The devil is rebuked. He won't touch my finances. He won't have them. I will come out of this. I'm serious. And I did that for months. And finally, you get to the end of the process, and they say, okay, because of the amount of money, because of this lawsuit, it's going to the Supreme Court. It just wasn't just a little, you know, go. Let's go to civil court. No, because of the amount of money, it was going to the Supreme, to their whatever their top court is, right? And they said, well, you don't need to come. If you're needed, we'll request your presence. And so, you know, your mind is still playing. Your mind is saying, and I would say it and say it and say it and say it and say it till joy came. And the joy of the Lord would come. And I'd rejoice. And peace would come. And my mind was at peace. And so, this is the week of the trial. This is the week. And so I'm speaking. Monday goes by, Tuesday goes by, Wednesday goes by, Thursday goes by, and I'm going, gee, that's strange. I haven't heard a thing, nothing, no calls. So about a week later, I get a letter in the mail. Thank you very much. This case has been settled within the confines of your insurance policy. And I'm thinking, yes, sir. And I rejoiced because possession came, but it had to be preceded with confession. And I just didn't grab a scripture and go, I think I'm going to confess this. There had to be revelation from God. It had to be spoken to my heart. Because faith came. Faith came when revelation came. Faith came when a knowing came. Faith came when I heard his voice. Oh, yes. And when faith came, I had to do something in order for what? The power of God to be released into that setting. And the power of God had to be released into that by what? My words. I released his power by my words speaking. And I'm telling you, to look at what was on paper, there's no way in the natural that that insurance policy would have covered what they wanted. They didn't get what they wanted. They got what God said. The devil was rebuked because he was trying to steal and to destroy. So I share these stories because now maybe you got another story that you came out of. But the point is that you've got to, in those settings, when something comes, a problem comes, and you've got to get quiet. That's what I'm talking about. I got quiet. Because I really didn't know what to do. I'm serious. I didn't know. It was overwhelming to my mind, to my heart, because you're looking at something and going, ain't no way in the natural this will work. I'm cooked in the natural. And so I said, well, God, I need your help. Because if I pushed every button I could push, there's no way I could make this work. See? So you've got to get God's insight. You've got to get him involved in that before you just start talking. You need to be quiet and get his perspective, get his vantage point, get his input in it. And then once he does, you'll hear his voice. And boy, I'll tell you, it's like, yes, I heard him and I know him. And now you can start talking and releasing. something the Lord spoke to Reinhard Bonnke. He spoke this to him. He said, "My word in your mouth is just as powerful as my word in my mouth, in God's mouth. His word spoken in your mouth is just as powerful as God speaking his own word. Just as powerful." Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let me just share this tonight. We've covered a number of things here, but when we talk about agreeing with God, and this kind of really was looking at this in this perspective, we know that when we agree with God, we speak his word, we speak his promises. We're looking at this perspective of it, right? But how can you truly, when we look at Amos 3:3, it says, how can two walk together unless they do what? They agree. So here's a perspective or a way of looking at this. If you say you agree with God, then that means you have to walk with God. And how can you say, I walk with God, but you don't agree with his word? And you talk something else. God has said, you are healed. You are prosperous. You can do all things through Christ. And you say you walk with him, but then you talk something else. How can you? Then you're not walking with him. Because if you're walking with God, then you're in agreement with him. Isn't that what it says? Isn't that what Amos 3 says? How can two walk together unless they do what? Agree. So if you are walking with God, then you're agreeing with him. You're agreeing with his word. You're not saying something else or something other. Right? Let me just read this. I think I mentioned this one of the last lessons in, you don't need to turn there. Some of your pages may be stuck there, but anyways. Lamentations 3, verse 37, it says, who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commanded it not? That's Lamentations 3:37. The New International Version says, who can speak and have it happen if the Lord has not decreed it? See? In the Amplified, it says, who is he who speaks and it comes to pass if the Lord has not authorized and commanded it? So God has got to authorize something, and we have to be in agreement with it. We have to walk in agreement with him. And that means that, what does that mean? That means when I agree with him, I agree with what he says about me. I am a new creature. I am the blessed. I am the healed. I am an overcomer in Christ. I'm agreeing with him. I'm not agreeing with my feelings. I'm not agreeing with my circumstances. I'm not agreeing with what the devil says you are. I'm agreeing with what he says about me. And here's the thing, we keep saying this. When conditions happen, when circumstances happen, whether it's in finances, your social environment, your job, your health, whatever it is, keep speaking the word of God. Keep saying it, keep speaking it, keep speaking the word of God, and you're giving God the power, or it's causing his power to be released in you, and he will direct. He'll guide. He'll lead you. Stop trying to figure out how to do it, how to fix the problem. Instead, release that to him. Let him direct your steps. Let him guide you. What does it say? All the paths of wisdom. In Proverbs 3, it talks about trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him. He will direct thy paths. And then if you read further down, it talks about wisdom, and it says, and all the paths, well, it doesn't say wisdom, but it's talking about wisdom, and it said all its paths let me not misquote it. In Proverbs 3, it says, her ways, talking about wisdom, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. So when you don't have peace about something, you know, when I went through this back in 2000, this is almost 17 years ago, I went through this little stomach thing I had going on because I abused some things. But I remember, you see, you know, I was speaking, this is when we talk about taking a scripture and just confessing it without getting some input or insight from God. And I said, well, I'm going to do what I've done before. You know how you think you're so smart? I'm just going to confess the word of God because I have and had and got healing in my body and had done it many times. But in this situation, I said, I'm going to do the same thing. And after a year, I'm in a lot of pain. And so when I was in the shower, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. And so that led me down a path. See, don't try to figure out how to solve something. Follow him. You may say, well, why did that not work the same way? I don't know. I really don't know. But I learned some things after the fact that began to explain to me maybe why it did not work. Reading Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. So in any event, when I went and started down that path, he didn't tell me which doctor to go to. So I had to follow. I had to try some things. So I go to the emergency room. This doctor says, take this medicine. I've never taken medicine. Never have, and I still don't to this day. So I did. I took it. And then I'm getting all of these goofy side effects, and I'm like, forget this. And so this doctor, when I went to see him, he was supposed to be the top specialist in the hospital for this gastrointestinal doctor. And all of a sudden, he just started speaking negative words, like, this doesn't look good, this doesn't look good, this doesn't look good, this doesn't look good, this doesn't look good. And I said, you're an idiot. I did. I said to myself, yeah, this is an idiot. Because he's speaking negative, 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 negative. And I had a check in here. I never went back. Just cut it. I didn't ponder on it. I didn't meditate on it. I said, not going back. Because it was a check. And so through some guidance, I got to somebody who was a nutritionist. And that nutritionist turned my stomach around in about 2 weeks just by correcting my diet. And so all of that to say, we need to speak and confess, but we need to get God's input. We need to walk with him. We need to get his input. And I remember, after a number of years after, you know, I still pondered, you know, you think, why didn't that work? Why, you know, why did me confessing God's word did not appear to work in this situation? And I remember reading F.F. Bosworth's book, and he said there were 21 reasons why people don't get healed. And you read through them. Number 5, almost at the top of the list, it said, violating natural laws. And I said, well, there it is. Could have been. Violating a natural law. And then you said, you're trying to apply a spiritual principle or law, and you're violating a natural law. And you're asking God. Now, yes, spiritual laws can override it, but it's like you doing this, eating wrong things. Heal me. Heal my hand, and you're whacking it with a hammer. So when you violate things, it can contribute to some things. And that's what I was doing. My diet was a mess. And I caused some problems. And then I tried to apply Scripture, which the Holy Ghost did not tell me to do. You'll learn that. If that doesn't make any sense, I had to learn it. And you'll find out. There are things that there's things that in the Word of God, and I'm not saying that you don't speak the Word of God in situations, I don't, but what I am saying is that you get quiet when you're confronted with something and you ask Him for His input. You ask Him for, what should I do here? And He'll let you know. He'll show you what to do. Let's go over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And let's look at this here for shortly. Verse 16 and 17, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God." What is the power of God? The gospel, the word of God. "It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So the gospel is God's power. It's not a portion of His power. It is His power. And this is something T.L. Osborne shared. You know, I saw him many times speak from the platform. And it says here, he shared this, T.L. Osborne shared that the secret to the power manifested in his crusades was simply announcing the promises to the people. He said that was the secret to the power of God in his crusades, was simply announcing the promises of God to the people. He said the power, this is what he said, the power is in the announcement. Isn't that powerful? The power is in the announcement. This is a man that you read some of his stories, hundreds of thousands of people. The power in his crusades was in the announcement, pronouncing the gospel. And the gospel caused the reaction in the hearts of the people. So spoken words release power. Spoken words release power. So God's word is creative in nature. His word contains power, His power, but that power lies dormant unless it's spoken in faith. When spoken in faith, it becomes effective. So this is what we're talking about, faith, the faith of God, or the power of God will lie dormant unless it's spoken. Got to be spoken. Let's just read a few words of scriptures here. John 12:49. This is Jesus speaking here. "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak." So Jesus said, I say those things. Basically, He's saying His Father gave Him a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. John 8:28, "Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." So He didn't do something apart from the direction of the Father. He got direction from God, He got direction from His Father, and He spoke. Or He did, which is what He said here. He said, John 8:38, "I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father." John 5:19, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." And John 5:30, "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." So in order for the word to be effective It must be revealed by the Holy Spirit, give you direction, and then once it is, then it's what? It's released by us speaking. It's activated by our speech. So we cannot do something apart from His direction. We cannot. We need God's direction. We need it by His Spirit. Amen? Glory to God. Amen. So whatever you're confronted with, get His direction. Get quiet. Look for direction from the Holy Ghost, big or small, whatever it is. And then ask, He'll give you the direction. And once you get that direction, speak it. And speak it until it comes to pass. Some of these things that I've walked through have taken months to come to pass. And some things are still speaking to, still trusting God, still believing God for things and speaking to it. I'm telling you, the next phase, this is one of the things that I'm convinced of, the next phase of this ministry is going to take declaration in order for possession. You've got to, I'm trusting, I you know, every time I speak with this particular woman that I see, you know, it's a professional setting, so anyways, and get your mind off in something else, right? This is a professional discussion setting. People take things the wrong way, right? But she's very instrumental and very involved in her profession dealing with the Hasidim community. And when I talked with her, I said, you have got a God-given door open to you. And so she's not only loves Jesus, loves this, but she's also reading some things in the Jewish setting, the Torah, reading, just understanding certain things, understanding things that are discussed, and understanding their things that go on in that community, because she speaks to the Rebbes. They come to her, and because of her profession, and so forth. And the women talk, and they talk about what goes on in that community. And it isn't all that you see. You think, oh, well, that's wonderful. Well, there's a lot of other issues going on in that community. And the reason is because the law does not work. The law does not work. And they're struggling with the same ilks and the same problems that the world does in their religion. And the same thing, you see the same thing going on in the Muslim faith with Islam. The law does not work. And their hearts are crying. Some of them are crying, but they don't want to say, because if they out themselves, they're in trouble. Talking about, I'm looking for something else outside of this. And so I decree, we will have inroads into the Jewish community. I decree it. I say it. Do I know how? No, but you got to talk it. You've got to confess it before you possess it. You've got to decree that we will reach the Jewish community. We will reach the Muslim faith. We will reach them in Jesus' name. And I decree it in faith. And I say it. And I keep saying it, and then guess what? A door opens that you couldn't have opened. But you've got to say it before you have access. You can't just sit here and go, boy, I sure would like to. Never happen. It won't happen. If you want to reach the lost, you've got to decree it and say it and make yourself available. That's what we're talking about. Applying these principles not for selfish purposes, but for expanding the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that we are excited about your word, that it's working in our lives. And we thank you for it. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.